Oh, yes. It is already the 4th Monday of September. And happy autumn equinox to all of you. We're there. We're already halfway to winter. Can you believe that? Perfect equilibrium kind of weather, I feel. Cold nights, hot days, when the sun is setting, it's like the perfect temperature outside. I just rode my bike out there. There were dark clouds over Carbondale and lightning and thunder, and Mount Sopras was totally lit up in the glory of the sunshine. Awesome time of year. And I have an awesome guest today that I have met recently. Probably some of you listeners out there have bumped into him at an event or some special place like the Penny Springs or the Farmers Market or True Nature or some special place around here in the Roaring Fork Valley. I'm joined with Omananda, who is a part of the Sadhana Forest Project, and I think it's a fascinating project and a very worthy cause for all of us earthlings to pay attention to, and especially, you know, those of us who are so privileged to live right here in this valley in Carbondale, all of us that are in these KDNK airwaves. And when we first met at the Penny Springs, we started talking about how we could reach out and have some of these projects throughout the world vibrate in Carbondale on the airwaves. So now we're live and connected. How are you, Omananda?
I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me to be your guest out of all the possible people on the planet. So I feel chosen by Cody.
Oh, whatever. Well, well, tell us about the Sadhana Forest Project.
Well, Sadhana Forest is a volunteer organization that is doing basically water harvesting and reforestation in very remote areas in the planet that people don't have accessibility for fresh water and don't have food securities. And normally where we operate is places that are so far that people don't want to reach there, not even from the governments or local organizations. So either they reach out to us or somebody recommends and make the connection. And then we go to visit the land first, meet the people, understand what is their vision of their land and how we can help them to stay on their land. Because when they don't have water and they cannot drink, they cannot eat, they cannot feed their animals, they have to move to nearby areas which are normally owned by other tribes and get into conflicts with them, or move to the city and don't live anymore on the soil, move into concrete environment, which is cultural shock for them moving from the village. So we try to discuss with them and find a solution how to help them to stay on the land. And it is not exactly a project, it is more like a model. Mm-hmm. Model how to set a volunteer community, a permanent community, which is going to stay on the land. The volunteers are not permanent, but the project is permanent. The volunteers change, but the locals know that this project is going to continue theoretically forever along with them. So this is a unique feature of this organization.
Of course, life starts with water. Mm-hmm. And it's a basic necessity for all life on Earth. It's what makes Earth what it is. And I'm curious of the founder of the organization and where they started.
So the organization started in Auroville, that is in India, south of India, next to Pondicherry. It's a French colony, used to be a French colony in south of India. And that was where the first project was conceived and started. And that is the international headquarters of this organization. And it was 23 years ago. Today is a very, very developed area, not just Auroville, but all the surroundings. But it is easy to receive people, the volunteers who want to go to the other projects in Kenya, in Haiti, in Namibia, etc. To arrive in India, it is a more friendly environment to start and to learn the principles of water harvesting and reforestation, the particular techniques which we are using and the material and the know-how. And more importantly, they have to learn how to live and function in a community of volunteers which live together, work together 24 hours. And that is not a small challenge and a very new environment. And to sit and eat with 50 to 300 people, wow. Breakfast, lunch and dinner. For most people, it happens maybe four times a year, and it's called a wedding. So it takes time to adjust how to function, how to problem shoot in such a context, living in the forest, living in huts, in the trees, everything is open, and it's an unusual environment for people who live in apartments, in cities, or even in smaller towns and or villages that, you know, you're accessible all the time. People, they don't need to knock on your door because you don't have a door or a window. So it takes time to learn how to function in such a manner and to enjoy it too.
What is the climate like and where the headquarters are in India? And is it forested already?
And the area where we are now doing reforestation, we do reforestation. There was a forest and it was cut several times during colonial time, and different trees were introduced which are not very relevant for the area, and in fact you have to struggle with what you have when you start. For example,
of course,
acacia tree was planted there in the 70s and it is very invasive and very brutal.
Cashews?
Not cashews as well, but this is acacia, is a kind of eucalyptus, but also a lot of acacias actually, particularly in this area.
Okay, I know of India. I can relate to that, the acacia kind of tree now, of how they spread. They have sort of like bean pod seeds.
So in this case, you know, it's sometimes easier to start from zero than to deal with acacia. So something is better than nothing, but nothing is better than nonsense. It's a lot of nonsense is a lot of work, a lot of struggle, and very, very frustrating. But every project has different challenges. The project in Haiti is of a very different nature. We started to operate there in 2010 after the earthquake, with about 10,000 NGOs started to operate at that time. Today there's maybe 400, who knows, you know, there's no official numbers in Haiti. It's hard to know what is going on, but it's often referred to as the NGO's graveyard, Haiti.
Wow.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult to mm-hmm. operate in this environment, especially as a volunteer organization.
Yeah, we were talking about Haiti last week, possibly being able to talk to the main organizer there on the radio, perhaps live even. And you were telling me that volunteers from the outside can't even go there anymore.
Not at the moment, you know, the situation is changing constantly and fast, but there are local people that are engaged with the project, and I think it will be interesting to interview volunteers from the different projects and to understand what brought them there and kept them there, because it is a residential volunteer organization, so people come for a minimum of 2 weeks or 1 month. And then they stay, like in the case of Kenya, for example, there is a lady from the U.S. and she's there 8 years straight volunteering. So volunteering means not passing time, working very, very hard with many challenges.
A lady from the U.S. in Kenya.
In Kenya, with the Samburu tribe.
Yes.
So she will be a very interesting person to talk with, and understands what brings them there. They don't know, but they discover themselves during the process, and anyone can come and volunteer. So that is an interesting feature in this organization, because you don't know the people and then you're going to live with them. What is more interesting is they don't know themselves in this context.
Wow.
They discover themselves and their difficulties in working in this environment, in the different projects. It's not necessarily translating very quickly moving from India to Kenya to Haiti to Namibia, and volunteers move between the projects according to the need and their skill and their training level, and especially when we start new projects. So it is a beautiful process to observe, and of course you have to troubleshoot a lot constantly. In the global office, they are 24 hours, have to respond to the challenges that are arising in very remote areas, and you have to solve them with very simple means, manual, normally. Yes.
Right. If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Omananda with the Sadhana Forest Project, which has been around, you said 23 years, I guess, from 2002. 2003. And as far as I've seen, they're in India and Haiti and Kenya, and spreading around the
Namibia.
Globe. Namibia.
Romania soon. Roaring Fork Valley.
Yes.
Potentially.
You can find out more at sadhanaforest.org.
Correct.
And I watched a video this afternoon, and when we talked previously, I understand that these camps where all of the volunteers are together and working and living together and eating together, that it is drugs and alcohol free.
Yeah, and that's correct.
Then I learned also that there's a vegan diet with the
cooking. Is a plant-based diet, and the food is cooked by the volunteers. So every volunteer has a cooking shift, either chefing or helping. So yeah, if you don't know how to cook, you learn on the way, and you learn the hard way. It's cooking in the forest. We cook on wood only that we collect from the forest. So you have to collect it, chop it, cook in big quantities. So even if you know how to cook at home for 4 or 5 people, to cook for 300 or 200 people is a different challenge. And yeah, you feel it in the community when there is 2 meals not going well. Yeah, volunteers start to get nervous. And part of the objectives is to prove to people by experience that they can live on a plant-based diet.
Right.
And work very hard in the forest all day. Everything is manual. You have to carry your buckets of water to shower, for laundry. Everything is manual. You use a lot of energy and people are hungry and tired. So if you don't provide them proper meal, yes, they will not be happy quickly. Oh,
and yeah, not only does that sound very healthy and cleansing, but you're probably harvesting much of the food from the land that you're working. And I think there's really something to be said about having these huge communal meals where you're all sharing the same together. And it's not like every individual has their own preference or whatever, you know, like when everyone is taking food together, you sort of vibrate together and sort of, I think that really does create peace and understanding, harmony, and a lot of things we need in this world.
Well, firstly, it saves a lot of water. If you are doing a water harvesting project, you want to save as much as water as possible. So farming compared to having animals on your land, it saves a lot of water. And secondly, we are not growing food. Other communities around us, they grow food. We are planting trees and doing water harvesting. So we create infrastructure for other communities to grow food. So we are not eating our food. We are planting trees for other people to eat in 7-8 years from now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's not what most people want when they come. Everybody wants to, you know, eat their own tomato and basil, but then there is no time to plant trees. Then who will plant the trees or to harvest water? So since it is a charitable organization doing humanitarian service, we are caring for all. Firstly, for the villages and the farmers that live around us, that they are benefiting from having more water in the aquifer. So when the volunteers come and they want to do farming, we thank them and we say, sorry, we are not doing this in this project. We are doing water harvesting and reforestation.
I love it.
For others.
Yeah, because you're starting at the foundation. There's no creation, no creatures on earth without the forest and the water. And of course, trees hold in the soil, hold moisture in the soil, keep it from eroding, create wind breaks and shade. And then all kinds of life comes with the trees, you know. And yeah, and the earth is in serious need of that now.
Yeah, and also with the objective of not being focused just on your own actions. It's when you harvest water, is for everyone. When you plant trees, is for everyone, not just for people, for animals to come, and everyone would enjoy it. So the purpose of this project is service, and to create environments where people can feel useful to others, serve to others, and that is solving a lot of problem when the focus is not on you or just on your projects, and is attracting different kind of people or different mindsets, same people with different mindsets when they start to operate in this under these conditions. And yeah, we found it very beneficial, you know, for the projects that are nearby, not just the close by villages, but people come, they get inspired. It's an educational process, so they come to learn different things, both about the trees, how to save water, and how to function in a community of volunteers, which is not so easy. A volunteer would do for you much more than a paid person. But if they don't like something or their emotions are hurt, they can today, pack their bag and leave. So you have to be listening all the time to their needs, and you know, you live together. It's not working in a company. Everybody goes home at the end of the day and they have time to think about it, process it or whatever. No, you live together, you function together, everybody is welcome, and then the whole group has to learn how to function again in the new constellation. It's a constant work.
So then when you're not working or cooking together or sleeping, where's the other side of the cultural part of making music, dancing, so playing games?
There's constantly activities, you know. I put a bunch of people, creative people, working people in the forest. They will do amazing things. So there's a board for workshops, and people write the name and write what they want to learn or what they want to teach. And since that every given moment you have people from 50 nationalities, at least in the off season, in the high season, much more. So every day you will have workshops of whatever, yoga, macrame, anything that anybody will put on the board. And every Wednesday we have a show already, I think for 15 years, called the Non-Talent Show.
Yes.
So that, like many other things, many concepts of these projects have been copy-pasted in many places around the world in different formats. So Wednesday night is the Non-Talent Show, a show for the untalented and ungifted, you can say, where everybody can perform. And people do perform all sorts of things, or just come on stage, sit, and leave the stage, because you know, stage exposure in homeopathic doses, is very healing, and many people want to do it, and that's the most supportive crowd you'll find ever or anywhere. So that's, for example, happened every Wednesday night. Every Friday night we have a tour, a community tour. So we are sending buses to the main center of Oroville, and tourists and guests are coming by the hundreds to have a tour on the land and to see a film. We have Eco Film Club every Friday, also over 12 years now, I think. And after that they have a vegan dinner. And then just meeting, chatting, talking, asking questions about the program, and yeah, it is all for free. All the activities of these organizations are free of charge. The planting, the seeding, the trainings.
That's great. I hope some of you listeners out there hear this, that I think it's a great idea for a KDNK event to have a non-talent show. So
yes,
think about it. Let's jostle around that idea.
It's the only thing in life that the more you practice, the less you are good at is your known talent. So there's no need of preparation. There's no need. You can't get nervous. You know, everybody has at least one good known talent that they can perform.
I remember you telling me a specific story up at the Penny Springs about a very, very shy woman.
Yes.
You remember?
She came several times. She wanted to be on the show, but she was so nervous, and I really wanted to support her being on stage. So then this idea came to do a shy act. And we asked all the people in the audience to turn their back to the stage, and also we turned off the light, and I was just holding the mic, and she went on stage, and I was just emceeing and saying what she's doing, but she was not really doing that, like one arm handstand and juggling and all sort of stuff. And then she went off stage and everybody clapped. They don't even know who it was, but she knows. So everything goes.
Yeah, yes. That's great. Well, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Omananda about the Sadhana Forest Project, and they're based all over the world. If anyone is interested, you can go to sadhanaforest.org. And for anyone that's curious that would like to join up in one of these projects, lead us through a typical day of when it starts and what kind of work to expect.
So a normal day will start more or less 5:30 in the forest. Yeah, 5:30, 5:45. There is a wake up bell. People wake up and gather around 6:15 in the main area, and then dividing to different tasks. The ones who are going to the forest, the ones who are going to the kitchen, which is a lot of work to cook every day for so many people, and urgent things, depends on the weather, depends on the season. Now is monsoon season, is very particular in India. When the water comes, you have to be there and you have to be ready and to respond. And then starts the first service in the forest. Normally we do it first thing in the morning. India is pretty hot place, and it's much more pleasant to do it first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. Until around 8:15, 8:30, then there is breakfast and a break. Then there is a second working session is in the forest itself, but all kind of works on the land itself, on the housing, cooking, fixing, etc. Then the afternoon is mostly free unless you have a dinner to cook. That is more the general schedule. In the weekends, of course, is less work in the forest, but it's very, very flexible, like nature. It depends on the situation.
Yeah, and of course, if you're working hard in the morning before it gets hot, is there just sort of a break in the day to have a lunch and just kind of chill in the shade and wait to go back?
Or in the training center, there's a huge mud pool which is created by the water harvesting structures. So people chill in the mud pool when there's still water in the hot season. In India, you don't get a lot of water. There's a lot of activities going on in Auroville itself. Auroville is an international city which is made from many, many communities, small communities of one-person community up to very big communities like Sadhana Forest that can be hundreds in the season. So there's always activities in Auroville. When you are in Namibia, in the Kalahari Desert, then you have to be very creative. There's not much there. And same in Kenya. You can meet your neighbors, which are the zebras mostly, etc. So they are of different nature, and for people with different objectives, and of course, more or less challenging socially to be in a very, very remote areas in Kenya compared to being in Auroville, which is very, very international place. But people like both, so they try different projects and find what suits them most. And more importantly, many of the projects starts from ideas of volunteers. For example, we have a project called Children's Land that was started by a couple from Portugal that arrived in the community in Auroville, and they had an idea to make land that will be run by children. So children will have their projects, they will run their classes, and they'll just be supported by an adult who will provide the tools and make sure that everybody is safe. So this is how this project starts. This couple already left years ago, but the project still continues. So that is example of how things starts in Sadhana Forest.
Well, Omananda, thank you so much for taking the time to come on KD&K today. And it's been a pleasure just little by little getting to know you and the community for the last couple of weeks. I know it was the new moon yesterday, so I met you on the full moon. So it was like exactly 2 weeks ago. We watched the full moon rise at the Penny Springs, a magical evening. And I know some other folks have been touched by you in our community. It's an honor that you're here spreading the word of this Sadhana Forest project. Once again, I want to tell the listeners about sadhanaforest.org. I think that's also an outlet for people to donate to this project, right?
Yes, certainly, and donate their time.
Yes.
More importantly, donate with their hands and feet. There's a lot of donations in this valley, but you need people to work and work hard. So that is a call for action.
And of course, certainly. Of course, all of you who have been listening to KD&K for the last week know that KD&K Community Radio, right here out of downtown Carbondale, is in the midst of our fall membership drive, and we're looking for our hefty goal of $120,000. And we are just steadily cruising into it. There's been just an amazing outpouring of support from all of you out in our community and lots of listeners abroad. And this is just another amazing thing that we do. It's just connecting to one another and the whole world. And I look forward to working with Omananda more and talking with some of the leaders in these forest projects in Haiti and Namibia and India.
Yeah, very, very interesting people.
And bring it on home here to the Roaring Fork Valley. We need to go out right now. We'll see you next month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's a privilege to be your guest.